All right, thank you all very much for coming to this evening's special joint meeting of the Monroe City Council, Planning Commission, Parks Advisory Board, and the Citizens Advisory Committee. I am sorry for those of you that may have been waiting here for about 20 minutes or so. We finished our meeting about 10 or 15 minutes ago, so thank you for your patience and waiting for us. We're going to go ahead and begin the meeting just with introductions as a way of, in part, doing our roll call. And so we'll go ahead and start over here with Bill.
Bill Grimes with Studio Cascade, your devoted planning consultant.
Kathy Cutaback, Monroe City Council.
Katie Woods, the Advisory Committee, like where, which one have I worn right now?
Steve Jensen, Planning Commission.
Kevin Hanford, City Council.
Bridget Tuttle, Planning Commission.
Kurt Gehring, City Council.
Kurt Hansen, Citizens Advisory Committee.
Mike Stanger, Planning Commission.
Wayne Roslin, Planning Commission.
Dave Demarest, Citizen.
Jack Rasmussen, City Council.
I'm going to work a boss, Citizen. I can talk.
Mike Beast, Chamber.
It's your fault.
Jason Gamble, City Council.
Steve Whalen, Parks Board.
Shauna Chamberlain, Parks Board.
Karen Coppernall, Parks Board.
Bill Christensen, Planning Commission.
Jim Camp, City Council.
Ed Davis, City Council.
And Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor. Before I begin, I forgot to mention at the close of the council meeting. Oh,
the back row.
The back row. So let's go ahead.
Brad Barber, Public Works Director.
Mike Farrell, Parks and Rec Director.
Melissa Blake, Senior Planner.
Chris Henderson, Monroe Monitor.
Elizabeth Smith, City Clerk.
Jim Brassel, City Administrator.
Jamie Silva, Monroe Fire.
Thank you. Okay, before we begin, and since I have such an attentive audience, I'll go ahead and say it here. I forgot to mention at the council meeting at 12:12 on Friday, a former New England Patriot will be raising the 12th man flag in downtown. So everybody is invited. I just want to make certain that I said that. I forgot to say that during my report at the end of the last meeting. Okay, Councilmember Davis, you led us in the pledge in the last meeting. Why don't you go ahead and lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and so the format of this meeting, thank you, Councilmember. The format for this meeting is that we're going to go through discussion. Bill will go ahead and lead that discussion. And before the meeting ends, the City Council needs to give a formal adjournment. And if we go past 10, we'll start throwing things at people. But if we go past 10, we'll need to do a formal extension beyond 10 o'clock according to our rules of procedure. Okay? So with that, Bill, you're up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much for attending tonight. What we're wanting to do tonight is to give you something of a check-in, a status update, so you can see where this plan is heading and what we have in our immediate future in store. So just a little bit, we are in our process here, getting toward the very end of it. We've had a lot happen to get to this point. I'm not going to talk about this because it seems like every time we get together, I talk about where we've been. So I want to talk about our next steps today. This presentation really will not take very long because what I'm hoping to be able to do is to just equip our conversation a little bit so that we can really establish a nice constructive context on how we can modify this planning framework that you've had now, I think, for about a week and make sure that it's fitting what it is that the community is looking for. So we'll talk about some of the reasons why we have this framework structured the way that we do, and then we'll take a few minutes and talk about some of the important shifts in policy. A lot is remaining essentially the same. But there are some very important changes on hand that we want to make sure we take some time to talk about. And then we'll talk about some of our next steps. I don't know how this little thing works. That's okay. I don't need to use my pointer. And then we'll have a conversation. So what you have, is it hot in here?
Yes.
Yeah, it's old school. So you know, planning can be very tedious.
And it's one of the things about this job that I don't really like, to be honest with you. But it's really important that when we construct a plan, that we pay attention to its structure. And so what we have is something here that's really very dry material. This is not what your plan is going to look like. But, you know, many of you are plan users and not plan builders. And so as plan builders, we have to approach it in a slightly different way. So we have to make sure that the plan structure is really tight and makes sense. And it's almost like building a house, kind of, that you have to make sure you frame it right to make sure so you have the house that you want at the end of the story. So that's one of the reasons why we're giving you this framework here. Another very important reason is that your comprehensive plan is the first step in the application of police power for the community. I'm not talking about pulling people over and giving them a speeding ticket. I'm talking about your zoning and subdivision laws. And in order for you to have zoning and subdivision laws, you have to embed them in the policy context of your comprehensive plan. And so your comprehensive plan is really that first point where you tell that story between drawing the line between what it is the community wants and how that translates into what setbacks need to be and what kinds of uses need to go where and how big your minimum lots are going to be. So your comprehensive plan needs to effectively tell that story. And in order for us to do that, we have to make sure that this is on target, which is this framework. Those of you who participated in the process probably remember this chart. It was our vision tree. And this framework expresses that. This framework expresses the various goals and policies that come up in the vision tree. The next part of this is actually the implementation actions, and we're working on that now. And as we finalize those implementation actions, we'll also be fine-tuning the policy matrix to match it. So one of the things that we have to make sure that we do with this framework is we have to make sure that we have internal consistency, that your comprehensive plan's land use element and your capital facilities element and your economic development and your transportation element are all saying the same thing. You know, there's nothing more uncomfortable as a city official to take a look at a policy your land use element says and have it directly contradict or maybe potentially contradict with a policy someplace else in the town, in the plan. That's not going to work. So we've got to make sure this is internally consistent. We also have to make sure that it's externally consistent, that this policy framework that we have is going to line up with Snohomish County's countywide planning policies, that it's going to line up with your transportation plan, and it's going to line up with your utility master plans, it's going to line up with your parks, recreation, open space plan, and all the other policy stuff that you've got. So it has to be internally consistent, externally consistent. You can see why I'm saying this is kind of a tedious part in the process, because we have to make sure that everything we write in this as a goal or a policy is lining up with other stuff you already have on the books, or we have to be prepared to coach you in how to amend the other stuff you have on the books if this is what's really most important and if there is a conflict. We also have to make sure, and it's been a directive from the start, that the plan be brief, that it be accessible, that it be an easy tool to read and use. I'll say no more about that. We also have to make sure that this plan is a current plan. I mean, you've had a comprehensive plan in place now for more than a decade, and some of those things that are in there you've already accomplished, or they're just not relevant anymore. So we have to go through this filter and make sure that the stuff that's in this network is stuff that's relevant today. And we also want it to be clear. Some of your policies and goals in your existing planning documents say a couple of things in one paragraph, and so we just have to make sure that there isn't the kind of ambiguity or vagueness. So we try to be as clear as we can with the goals and policies, and we also have to make sure we're efficient. It is a single comprehensive plan. So you have a policy that may relate mostly to transportation, but it also has land use implications. Don't have that policy appear twice in the document. Have it appear only once. So we're going through that process too, making sure that, you know, we're eliminating redundancy and we have that kind of efficient use of this planning document. So when we look at our goals, they have all been revised. The goals that you have in your existing planning documents have all been touched to a certain degree, and we've come up with, I believe, 14 goals now as a result. So that has put your policy document on something of a diet. Brad was asking us to hit 8 goals. Six goals.
But that didn't quite happen. Just because there are so many issues and topics, we thought we really needed to address a little bit more individually. So instead of Brad's nine goals, we wound up with 14. Now, what we've done with the goals here is that, you know, goals are by nature a little bit more abstract and issue-focused, and they often run the risk of being interpreted in a variety of ways. And so we've included an explanatory paragraph kind of appended to the goal. The goal is the goal. The goal is what is being adopted here as part of the plan, but this explanatory paragraph helps to clarify some of these things that might be indistinct or vague about that goal. So hopefully, you know, you read the goal, it gets you a sense of direction, but then you read the paragraph that follows it, it gives you a little bit more detail on how you might want to look at it. We also, as we were writing these goals, we're trying to configure them in such a way that they really do spawn a bunch of policies that are geared toward their implementation. So we have a goal here, the first one, ensure city plans, policies, and actions are responsive, reflecting community needs and desires. So that then translates to a variety of policies that you'll see are relevant to all of these different elements in the plan. So how do I use this little laser pointer thing? Oh, there it is. Okay. My mom said I should be an optometrist. I didn't realize that I'd go through the training here in Monroe. So land use, transportation, economic development, housing, parks and recreation, capital facilities, natural environment, and shorelines are all going to be elements in your comprehensive plan. And so we're beginning to exercise that thought about efficiency by having every goal where it's relevant to those elements appear in a single table. All right, so policies. Again, every policy that you've adopted over the years, we have touched. Either to reword it so we have consistency in grammatical structure, or to align it with this goal and vision tree that's taking shape. So I don't know that we are materially changing all that much, but we are shooting for a level of consistency in the way that these things are worded, that it's going to work consistently with the rest of the document. Now, if you take a look through your framework, you'll see that the policy table is actually quite similar to the goal table, with an important distinction. It does have the same linkages to the various other comprehensive plan elements that you'll see throughout the document. But because each policy really is contingent on a goal that is at a higher level, we've made sure that the policies in their explanatory paragraphs there have a cross-reference to the goals that are relevant. And in most cases, there are only two policies where there is only one goal that supports it. In most cases, there are multiple goals that support individual policies. And I know you're probably curious, what are those two policies that have only one goal reference? One of them deals with preferential treatment for carpool parking, preferential parking for carpool, and the other one has to do with the imposition of impact fees. But everything else in this document, all 170, I think, policies here, 170 policies, have multiple goal references. Now, 170 policies, that sounds like a lot. Well, we were working with one community here in the Puget Sound area that had 850 policies, and it was a community that was no larger than Monroe. But I also think it's important for us to understand that these policies aren't just dealing with land use. This is a planning process, and we've said it every time we've gotten together. This is a planning process that is looking at economic development, it's looking at parks, recreation, open space, it's looking at capital facilities, and it's looking at the kind of stuff you normally see in a comprehensive plan, too. So the level of coverage in this comprehensive plan, this policy touch, is actually quite deep. So anyway, that's one reason why we have it. And as you look through these, you'll see that there is very little involved in city business that this plan doesn't touch. Also, the city's adopted several special purpose plans, like the downtown plan.
And what we've done is we've gone through that and we've pulled goals and policies out of that document and integrated them into the framework that you see here. So, yes, you'll still have the downtown plan, but now you're going to have that kind of marriage between the policy direction and the comprehensive plan that'll help you implement the downtown plan and integrate its recommendations into this larger policy context. Okay, so the implementation framework, and it is something that we're working on even now, starts to look at those individual budgetable kinds of items or tasks that will accompany this policy framework. So here, let me just see if I can find an example here that makes sense. Okay, so here's policy 5. Sustain and enhance the Highway 2 North Kelsey commercial area as a local and regional draw, enhancing its range of retail, service, and housing options. So that gives you a sense of what the policies are about. They're about guiding your behavior as an advisory commission or as a city council. Something comes to you, what do you use as a sideboard for your behavior? The implementation action is, okay, so what do you do about it? So if you're wanting to sustain and enhance the Highway 2 North Kelsey commercial area, what you wind up doing is looking at things like improving the aesthetics on Highway 2, or you start looking at updating your zoning ordinance to make sure that you have the kinds of permitted uses that are going to achieve those ends. So they're very specific, budgetable action items. And they can either be something that is more policy related, like perhaps a planning task, or something that's really more capital related, like maybe intersection improvements or something along those lines that would have kind of a transportation or capital facilities orientation. So we're asking in this implementation thing for us to take a look at, okay, what are you going to do exactly to accomplish those policy objectives? Okay, so some of these shifts, and I'm just about done with what it is that I would like to present. The comprehensive plan, as it's taken shape, and we've gotten quite a bit of feedback through this process, is that we're beginning to see an emphasis of several mixed-use nodes emerge in the community. So, yes, downtown is one of those, and there's been a lot of emphasis on helping downtown thrive by injecting a variety of really interesting and varied uses into downtown. But we're also seeing that some of that energy might be valuable in other parts of town as well. So if it's going to be at Freilands and Highway 2, where we see kind of commercial activity generating up there, or whether it's at Main Street and 522 and Freilands and that kind of an area and part of town, or maybe it's at Main Street and 179th. You know, there are these opportunities in the community that really present themselves for that kind of different use character that might be exciting and provide this neighborhood identity that the community is really looking for. Another thing that's come up out of the conversation is we need to find ways to get around town a little bit more conveniently. So we don't always have to get on Highway 2, or we don't always have to use our car. And that's really evident in some of the places up in North Hill and also in the Triangle, the portion south of 522 and north of Main. How do we navigate our neighborhoods? No surprises to you because you've been involved in this town for a while and you've been involved in the process. But we see that we have policy language that really speaks to that. We're also trying to find ways to keep growth contained within our urban growth area, with just a little bit of an expansion, but still trying to keep growth contained with our urban growth area. If we're accommodating population forecasts within an area that we're serving, we need to make sure that we can accommodate new growth through infill strategies. And so we are looking at the Triangle as an area that will accommodate new residential development, but we also are looking at some of these mixed-use nodes as opportunities to accommodate new residents and to address and answer some of what's coming up as new lifestyle choices where people really like the idea of a more urban environment. Relationship to outdoors, I even heard in the city council meeting a little allusion to the adventure starts here. But it's more than just that for Monroe. You have an intimate tie to the environment around you, and so we want to make sure that the plan really picks up on that. Fairgrounds airport opportunity. Fairgrounds is outside of the city's immediate jurisdiction or control, but it is a significant component in the city's landscape. And that entire area north of Highway 2 has really been part of our conversation throughout this process on how can we optimize the use there. Is there a way that we can do something collaboratively between the fairgrounds and the airport? Is the airport really the most essential, desired, critical use of that area. So how do we really navigate some of those questions? Don't know if the time is yet ripe, but it probably will be within the 20-year planning horizon in this comprehensive plan. So how do we set ourselves up to deal with some of those questions as they come our way? Low-impact development, making sure that we're managing our stormwater in such a way that we're really being good stewards and not only from an environmental perspective, but also from a capital facilities perspective, so we don't have to overinvest in our stormwater infrastructure to take care of storm events. And then probably one of the most popularly supported moves in this plan is to emphasize Skykomish River access and also Woods Creek access so that we can take advantage of just this unique opportunity that Monroe has, whether it's just visual access, so you have a sense to of how close and how approximate you are to this resource, or whether it's physical access, you can actually take advantage of this maybe as a transportation or recreation corridor, or something that really does help underpin the identity. And as we start thinking about things like the evolution of downtown to that next level, how does the river and Woods Creek play into that? So anyway, that's another thing that this plan is really trying to promote, is the prominence of the Skykomish River. So our next steps, we are in the process of reviewing this framework. This policy framework that you have, I think, reflects conversations that we've been having with staff through January 5th, and I expect that this will continue to be refined as we move forward, and certainly as a result of our conversation tonight. We will refine our list of implementation actions. And yes, there are several of them, but many of these are stricken out because they're drawn from a variety of other documents that the city has. And after we refine the implementation actions, what we're going to do is we're going to give you a list that constitutes your six-year priority, and so that we can establish those things that really are important to be taken care of, and where there's a critical path, we'll identify the things that need to be done first before you can move on to the next step. So that's where we see the implementation actions going. We're going to have a draft document, which will be, if we're talking about this in terms of a house, it'll be something where you actually have the fixtures and the paint, not just the wood frame, for you to take a look at. And then our target is to bring it to City Council for its official review and presentation with recommendations from the Park Board and Planning Commission there in the first or second week of June. So that's where we are. If you can remember, we really need to show substantial progress to meet the state's planning guidelines. The statutory requirement is that we get it done by June 30th, but there are so many people in exactly the same boat that we are. If we're able to give a draft to the state that is into the council process, we're going to be okay. So don't mean to take the heat off of you. I think it's an important document to adopt, but I don't know you're going to get cross-threaded with the state if you're just beginning to see it at City Council on June 9. So what I'm hoping we can do tonight, I'll hear anything that you want to say, and I certainly welcome any comment. Hopefully it's on the framework. Hopefully it's not about where is Lofa Tatupu now. I don't know. But what I'm hoping we can do is talk about some of the missing goals and policies, some of the things that you believe should be in there and are not, or they're not necessarily in there to the level that they need to be. One thing that I think is missing just off the top of my head is some more prominent mention of a civic gathering space or a community green, something like that. That came out in the downtown plan, and maybe it's something that we really need to make sure that we include in this one as well. Or if there is some policy in there that might be a holdover from something in a previous plan that we need to just chuck. Things that we don't think are achievable or maybe really aren't important enough for us to go after. If you have typos or grammatical thoughts, it'll be embarrassing, but I'll listen to it and I'll do what I can to fix it. And then also, if you have specific ideas on what it is that we need to do to implement these things, I'll start adding to my list too, because I'm sure you have things on your minds that you'd like to get taken care of, and now's a good opportunity to make sure they get put in that implementation list. Okay. Brad, do you have anything that you want to say? Or?
No, I think you covered everything.
Okay. Very good.
Basically, it's kind of free form now. If you have comments, you know, we can start around the room or raise your hands.
Do you want me to just go ahead and...
Okay.
Councilmember Garing.
Thanks, appreciate it, Mayor. And thanks for the introduction. Brad did hand out to council a much smaller list of goals, which there are seven. I'll be very straightforward, and I like his list better than your list. But no disrespect. I think there's some, in some of these goals, at least as I'm looking at them, there's really some duplication. Like number one and number three can go together. What was suggested as in this list from Brad was ensure a well-managed city. And for a goal, that's a very clear and concise goal. And a lot of these policies can fall under that. If you look at number one and then you look at number three, that's really all about ensuring a well-managed city. And I think we can say that a lot more clearly with a lot less words and have people, oh, yeah, you want to have a well-managed city. I think most people can put their hands around what that means. And then the policies up underneath that. And just on a side note, it was a little difficult going through here and seeing all the goals here and then having to go through all the policies and trying to figure out which ones going back and forth. That was didn't make for necessarily an easy read, but some way to do that where we can see what's under each one, that would have been a little bit more helpful for me when I was reviewing it.
Thank you.
I have comments on like 65 of the policies and all of the goals, so I don't want to take up everyone's time today, but I was hoping that's what the intent of what tonight is, but that makes for me talking a lot and everybody else waiting their turn or whatever. So I want to be sensitive to that. I don't know if we're going to do all that tonight or not, but some of these things, like goal number six, and things like that. So there's a number of them that I have questions on. So,
Councilmember Gary, there are 19 pages, and one way that we can do this is go through just page by page. If I see heads going like this, we'll do that. Otherwise, what I could do is just call on folks.
I can go through each one, because okay. I've got to comment on each one.
I can hear me talking on every page.
I'm going to be talking on every page.
Can we just go through each goal?
Yeah, let's
do that. Because that would be good.
Okay, let's do that. Okay, so when you speak, because our city clerk, Smoot, is taking notes, please state your name for the record, just like we do in a regular meeting. And I'm not going to know everybody's names. So I'm sorry about that. I still call people the wrong name in our staff meetings. So, and that's at work, not at the city. So let's go ahead and start off with goal number one. So this is ensure city plans, policies, and actions are responsive, reflecting community needs and desires. I won't read the discussion. So let's just go ahead and... Councilmember Gary.
Thanks. I'm just wondering, how do you define what the community needs and desires are? They change. It's different across different areas of town. This to me is more of a policy than a goal. Again, the ensure a well-managed city is a goal, and this is perhaps a policy that is developed under the goal. And it also goes with number three, in my opinion. But those are my initial comments on number one. Thanks.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Bill Christensen. I also have a comment on it. It's very similar to what Councilmember Gehring has stated. Is the community needs and desires, that is so big. My needs and desires are not the same as my neighbor's. That's how different that can be. So I agree with that statement. That's way too big.
It's not attainable either.
Mr. Sandy?
Sorry, Mike Sandy. Yeah, you can't attain that. I mean, how do you attain that? If it's a goal, you have to have some sort of metric that you can attain it and show you've done it.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Councilmember Cutaback, and then we'll go with Commissioner Todd.
So I read this goal differently. It seems like the intent of the goal is to have involvement from the public, and it's the public input that then will reflect the community needs and desires. So it's not saying that we need to know what the community needs and desires are. It's saying that it's important to have public buy-in and input as we develop policy. So the goal is broad, and it's about buy-in and public support and involving the public in decisions that we do in the future, and it's just one of the goals that a city should have, period. So I don't see it as, that we have to have in here defining the desires and needs, and it's not saying that there's one desire and need, because you're right, everybody has different desires and needs, but it's saying that get the community buy-in and get the public input as you're developing policies. That's how I read it.
Thank you. Commissioner Tuttle?
Thank you. I thought that a better way to state that goal based on the discussion below, because again, I disagree that it's possible to reflect the community needs. We don't have a definition of the community. We don't know, there's no way to reflect the entire community, but I thought that the goal there was actually saying to recreate a responsive government, and as far as having the public involved, we do have a representative government, and the public is involved in the voting process. I would hate to see us not be able to move anything forward ever because we're waiting to hear everybody's opinion. And maybe we need to do a better job of promoting our elections so that the community is represented through the 7 people that are voted in. But I read that more as having good PR with the community, and so wanting to have a government that's responsive and appears responsive. And I just thought a better way to state that was to make the goal to be create a responsive government.
Are there any other comments on this goal? I felt that the goal was broad, and one of the things that I'm concerned about is that if we do find ourselves before the Growth Management Hearings Board or court, how does a court review this? If we're looking at a land use decision, and I've got one aspect of the community saying one thing and another aspect, another portion of the community saying another thing, how this plays into this. And also, under state law, we're required to do notices of application and so on. So, you know, I wasn't quite clear on whether or not this was a necessary goal. So those are my thoughts. Do you have any follow-up? Oh, so Commissioner Tuttle has already spoken. Let's go ahead and go with you, and then we'll go back to Commissioner
Steve Whalen. And my only comment, we're talking about needs and desires of the community, is I think one of the great struggles we have is bridging the gap between the Anglo and Hispanic population. And I think that we need to be aggressive as kind of the natives, if you will, of reaching out to the Hispanic people and trying to figure out what their needs are. And as I look around this room, I don't know if we have anybody within 3 generations of a Latin family. And I think that would be an important consideration to make in trying to figure out some of these things.
Commissioner
Dunn? And I, kind of backing up a little bit, I wanted to say the big things I think is that the goals are the what we want to do, and the policies are the how we're doing it. So again, I would like to reiterate that I would like to see personally a goal stated, and then the policies under that tell me exactly how we're going to do that. Because most of my questions and comments are about the house. We make some broad statements here, like engage an active populace. How are we doing that? And I realize I'm supposed to find that in the policies, but I don't know that I can get behind a goal when I don't know what the plan is for enactment. And once you start thinking about how to create policies to support that goal, then you're going to find out if that goal is a reasonable goal or not. So that's kind of the broad picture of this document for me.
That was one of the things that we brought up a couple weeks ago also, is trying to understand where this is going. This is an appendix C out of what's going to be a larger document. We have implementation measures that just arrived, which go underneath these, and having that full document to give us the context, I think, would really help out here. So that's one of the criticisms that we've had also, is where are we going with this? And I agree with you, and I think Councilmember Gehring mentioned the same thing. Having the goal, the objective, and no doubt I'm using the wrong words here, but the goal, the objective, the policy, the implementation measure, whatever the hierarchy is, having that in an outline allows you to see where you're going with it, because maybe the statement's okay when you see it in the context of where we're going with it.
100% agree.
All right. Does anybody else have any comments on number 1 out of 170? Okay, let's move down to goal number 2, keep Monroe safe, providing quality police and fire protection, managing facilities, infrastructure, and hazard risks. Councilmember Gearing.
I'm just curious about fire protection in there. I mean, technically, that's not us in the city. I'm just wondering if that was included because we're at the fire department.
It has nothing to do with our current location.
And it's obviously a vital part of the community, but it actually isn't city. And so, I think it's great. I was just, you know, can we do that? I mean, we can't really, we don't plan for the fire department, right? So we don't implement policies that affect the fire department. So if we're going to have a goal, public safety in the way that Brad worded it, I think was great. Promote and provide for public safety and security. I think that's a much more clear and concise way to say this. And you can incorporate some other things in here with number two. You know, the description's great. I was just curious about the fire protection part of it.
Fire protection, though, is the city does govern the laws. We adopt the code. You know, we do or do not require sprinklers in buildings and
very
things
good.
Like that. So we,
very good.
We don't put the fires out.
Okay, so perfect. That's the clarification I was looking for. All right, so that's why that's there.
Yeah. The fire department does our building inspections for us. We contract with them.
For fire.
For fire services.
So it makes sense to have that in here, which is what my point of clarification. Again, I like Brad's list on this one. Promote and provide for public safety and security. Clear and concise.
Mm-hmm.
That's a goal. That's what we're going to do. And then the policy should be how we're going to do it. So, thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Christensen, and then
I just had one comment on the fire. We do make decisions that may add to their business too. So expanding the city out where they now taken over different areas of responsibility.
Okay. Commissioner Tuttle.
Thank you. I would think it sounds better to say that we're going to keep Monroe safe through police and fire protection. I don't know about the quality part, then that brings up questions to me about how are we measuring that, and maybe there's a policy in there about how that goes, but I don't know. It seems a little fluffy to me. And then I've heard Brad talk before too about, I know we said safety, but the emergency preparedness, I think, because in the discussion it talks about minimizing risk to life and property from man-made or natural hazards. I don't know what that means, but I agree that we need to be prepared and that our city government needs to be prepared for emergencies. So I thought that should go in there somewhere.
Okay. And just for everybody's reference, when Councilmember Gearing's talking about Brad's policies, the policies that Brad and I both worked on along with Melissa back in late December or early January, that's the seven goals that are on the back. So just so you're aware of where that's coming from. Anybody else on goal number two? It's on the back of the package that was here when I walked in.
The very back.
The very back.
The very, very back.
I don't have that.
You left that.
Football doesn't
think it
should be either.
Okay. Let's pull the meeting back together. We've got a lot to go through, so we'll see what we can do to get copies of those. Brad just left. It may be that he's looking for a Xerox machine. So one of the things that I like about the more succinct one, promote and provide for public safety and security, when I was a planning commissioner in Olympia, I seem to recall that they were talking about putting into the comp plan something related to the police department. And once you put material like that in your comp plan, it takes on a different meaning and a different drive in your city. And I don't know if you want to have a chapter on police. That's not where you're going with this, but I like the broader statement myself as well. Does anybody else have comments on goal two? Okay, we're going to go down to goal number three. Keep Monroe a well-managed city, maintaining and seeking to improve provision of cost-effective, responsive facilities and services, diverse levels of tax support, orderly growth and implementation of long-range plans. And Brad's handing out the back page to everybody right now, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Whalen.
Oh, no, I was just letting him know.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Thank you. Again, I have a question about what well-managed city means. I don't know how that works. I get, I get what I think a well-managed city is, but it might not be the same thing as someone else. So, again, I would, before I feel good about having a goal that says that. I would want to see what the policies underneath that are that implement that.
Councilmember Gary.
Thank you, Mayor. I would combine goal 3 with goal 1 and leave it as ensure a well-managed city, as suggested by Brad and suggested by the team, as goal number 1. Sorry, I was saying Brad earlier. I didn't know it was okay. Goal involved. Again, these are things that to me go underneath what it means to ensure a well-managed city, be responsive, and then these other things here in goal 3. So I think we can goal-wise we can say it more simply include these more as policy things. Also, diverse levels of tax support. I don't know what that means. And then orderly growth. Who defines what that is? So, thanks.
Anybody else on that one? Okay, and the things that stood out to me were like the diverse levels of tax support. The issue that I had going through my mind is somebody coming through on some sort of budget initiative and saying, it says in your comp plan that you're going to go for diverse levels of tax support. You currently don't tax dark chocolate, and therefore you should be because your comp plan says something like that. So that's taken to the absurd, but it is part of the concern that I have with that. Okay, anything else on goal 3? Goal 4, keep Monroe beautiful, working to ensure quality, visually pleasing built environment. Anybody? Okay, Councilmember Gearing.
Sorry, visually pleasing is very subjective. It's super subjective. I think that can also be incorporated into different goals under Brad's list as well. I keep saying Brad's list, sorry. The three people who put together the other list.
The list on the back of the pack.
Yeah, we talked about aesthetically pleasing in 7. I think this is one that can be incorporated. Important, yeah, we want the town to look great. And that's that's an important piece, but to me that really should fit under something to, like as part of a well-managed city, we want it to look good. I could see number 4 also fitting under number 1 rather than standing on its own. Still talked about and considered, but I don't know that it needs to be its own specific goal.
Okay.
That's it on that one.
Okay. Commissioner Cutterback, you had your hand up.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry.
I
told everybody,
that's
okay,
right.
Fair warning, I'm going to get your name wrong.
The same thing, and I think a goal shouldn't be to keep something the way it is, it should be to create it, so make Monroe beautiful, but again, that is talked about in some of the other goals that discuss aesthetics of the town, and I needed to hear some example of what a visually pleasing built environment was, because I didn't understand that. If there is one. I just feel like when the goals were put together, something must have been in the person's mind who is writing it that I'm not catching on to. So
myself either.
This might be an oversimplification, but I would say absence of blight.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Steve Jensen. I just note that, and I'm going to call this one the mini list, for lack of a better term.
The mini list. Better one.
In mapping kind of it, and I think goal 14 kind of all blends here to the mini list, goal 4, the part that seems to be kind of missing in the mini list 4 is a representation, I think, from beautiful could also include building style or a design standard. And so if we were to use the mini list 4, it might need to be expanded a little bit to somehow incorporate not just parks and art, but a design standard in buildings themselves, not just natural things or man-made art.
Okay, so the suggestion there from you then would be to look at goal number 4 and see if that could be...
I mean, if part of what the intent of beautiful is such a broad thing, the mini list has kind of narrowed it down a little bit by excluding. I don't see anything in the mini list that would represent a potential goal of a design standard. And so that might be the place to put it if the mini list ends up becoming more of where we head. I would like to see perhaps in number 4 something representing a design standard as part of that beauty, art, whatever goal.
Okay. Mr. Whelan, did you have something?
I was just thinking that maybe civic facilities would cover that, but that might be a little too broad even for what I think.
Right. I mean, I think even like, you know, commercial development and how do they build their buildings and, you know, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Right, which
so it includes private as well as public.
Right, which brings up, you know, part of the concern that some people may have is how much do you want to get involved in architecture, you know, for commercial, residential, and things like that. Design standards are something applied in some communities. It's not applied in all communities. You're looking at an architectural review board and whatnot. So that is one thing that Steve is suggesting with what he's talking about.
And it may not be a heavy design standard, but just to acknowledge we might have something.
Right.
Would we want an EMP to be built in town? Maybe not. You might want to have a standard against that or a design against that.
Right.
Or in favor of it, if you like that sort of
thing. So that's in a policy discussion, right?
Right. That would
it
be
could lead from that goal to different policies, yes.
Okay. Anybody else on goal number four? Okay. Goal number five, sustain downtown as the heart of Monroe, enhancing its commercial housing and civic vitality. And before people start talking, the heart to me, I think everybody here has a different thing that they call the heart of their town, whether it's their family unit at home, the church they go to, the civic club that they're at all the time. And I had made a request that if we're going to use a term, that it be like a focal point rather than the heart, because it's got a sort of a deep-seated spiritual meaning to some folks in a different way than other folks. So. Anyway, that was some feedback that I gave right off the bat. So let's go ahead and start with Steve. Why don't you start this time?
Okay. Just kind of light here. I did not like the fact that it just said sustain downtown. Downtown is failing. So it needs to be build up or grow.
Improve
downtown. If this was to somehow be transported over here to the mini list, unless I've missed it, I don't see anything in the mini list that would incorporate a goal specifically targeting downtown. And I think we need to have a goal that specifically targets downtown. So if we were to end up with the mini list, I would say that this would become a goal 8 or somewhere in there, but along the lines of that we are they're building up or growing, investing in downtown, not just sustaining it as it is.
Okay.
Thanks.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Thank you. Yeah, I would rather have it say make Monroe or make downtown the focal point of Monroe if we're going to do that, because the first discussion line says downtown is still considered the heart of Monroe, and my question is it? Because everybody here knows that the downtown has struggled. We've struggled to have an identity and build it up for a long time. So we definitely don't want to sustain where we're at. And then I have some questions in the discussion too that I think is what the goal was created, but I think we need to figure out what are the necessary functions of downtown and to define community, especially that specific community, because that's part of the trouble that we've had there is we don't really know what it wants to be, what it should be, or how it needs to go. So, and I don't know that the downtown needs to be a specific goal. I feel like there's another goal that talks about the commerce and the economy, but it is number 8, thank you. But that maybe the downtown should be one of the policy objects underneath the commerce and economy. I don't know, but that's my leaning.
Councilmember Gamble, I see your hand up, and then we'll come over to Councilmember Garrett.
I was just going to say that I saw it on the main list under goal number 3, because it's in the aggregate. It grows a regional center and destination while sustaining a balanced, diverse, resilient economy for Monroe, providing employment opportunities and balance across the board. And in my opinion, we need to be looking at the city as a whole, very much looking at North Kelsey and downtown and what is the plan for all of them, not singling any one out because it is an all-in. So I would be much more in favor in what's in the main list on goal 3 and the policy statements underneath that that support the diversity, which would include downtown, and then the other economic sectors that are within the city.
Agree.
Okay. Okay.
Councilmember Gehring and then Councilmember Hanford.
Gehring, thank you. Absolutely agree with that and with what you had said as well. This really belongs under with number 8, which is reworded in Brad's as number 3, which I have my own language for that I'd like to see for that. Promote and encourage and champion economic development in Monroe, providing for the city's long-term fiscal health. And I think the investment in downtown is part of that. It's, I think we want that. We recognize that, that's something that we want the community's talked about. And that's a how we're going to get to making our town fiscally healthy and making our town economic sustainability. So for me, the goal, the hierarchy one, number 3 from Brad's list, although I'd like to reword it a little bit, but this goal number 5 would be a policy, something to consider under a broader economic development type goal, as you see here with number 3. Also, and I had written down all of Monroe as well. We need to have an all of Monroe focus. We want business all around the town. And many people I talk to, why would I ever go downtown? And we want to change that. We want it to be, well, of course you're going to go downtown. But the goal, overarching goal, is still economic development for the entire city.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
I concur with Councilmember Gamble. I concur with Councilmember Gary.
Okay. That's good. Anybody else on goal number 5?
Just a follow-up there. When you reworded one, you were using the word promote. Is that strong enough, or does that still, to me, that seems to sound like take what we have and promote it rather than grow it or invest in it. It feels like it should be a stronger word even in what you've rewritten.
I'll tell you, what my thought behind that is the kind of some of the things we've tried to do over the last 4 years. Promote Monroe as a place to bring your business, as a place to open up your company so you can bring jobs. Promoting the city and taking that effort to, hey, we're over here, we're open for business. To me that's strong, but that's what I was thinking about when I said that.
If the city, and I'll target downtown again, obviously. If you were to try to promote downtown as it is, it doesn't promote itself. It doesn't promote very well. So it takes something else.
You're trying to attract capital.
In addition to promoting it. That's what I just felt like.
So as part of this conversation, I think we all realize that we're throwing a lot of information at the recorder and also at Bill and at Brad. And that there will be time to wordsmith, to get into details. At a later date, what I'm hearing is an interest in having something be more universal from the people that have spoken. I hear people also saying the downtown is important. We wouldn't call it the heart of downtown, but we want to do more than sustain the downtown. And so those are some of the takeaways that I'm hearing here.
Okay. Just Brad, if you look at policy number 1. Keeping the broader goal than the policy is encourage new development and redevelopment of the downtown area, et cetera, et cetera. So you're trying to, you got the broad entire city and then you have specific policy for downtown, North Kelsey, on down the line.
Which fits under number 3 on the list.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Karen Coppernall. I want to remember, almost at every single meeting we've had, downtown has come up. I still think it needs to be a separate goal. Because even though I don't think having it a separate goal doesn't mean that it's not part of the whole city and that we're not focusing on the whole city. I think the community has clearly spoken that they really want that emphasis on downtown, and I'm afraid if you don't put that in, you're going to be back to nobody listens to us, because I think it came out very strongly in all the conversations that we've been having.
Okay, I've got 2 more hands. Dave Demarest.
Karen, I have to agree with you. From my position in the last 20 years in the Planning Commission, time and time again, and if it's not brought to focus, it could lose to another area. And you don't want that to happen.
Okay. Councilmember Cutback, did you have something?
Well, I agree 100%. I think we do have a separate downtown plan, and it is looked at as the whole of the city. It fits in with the whole of the city. But we need to call that out as a specific goal to keep it front mind and keep it part. I think downtown rises to that importance to have its own goal, and I agree 100%.
Okay. Mr. Whalen and then Councilmember Gamble.
Along those lines, because I feel like North Kelsey, for example, has some traction. It's moving forward, whereas the strong word's been used, downtown has failed. I mean, it's kind of floundering. So to try to put them in an equal strategy position might not work too well. And North Kelsey's going to move forward. I wouldn't say abandon it by any stretch, but I think a little more emphasis does need to be put in downtown. And at the risk of sounding like I'm on a crusade, this is just an observation, but I would gather that the majority of our business, or a higher percentage of business owners on downtown, are from the Hispanic community than, say, North Kelsey or something like that. And so, again, involving them into some of these discussions and, you know, what are their desires and hopes and dreams. Now, some of them may say, I just want to keep my restaurant going, but some of them may have some vision for downtown that would probably behoove us to hear.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Again, I think we need to be careful, because if we make a goal for downtown, I would disagree. You would need to have a goal for North Kelsey. You would need to have a goal for the industrial park. They're as well, they are intertwined, and I appreciate the point of feedback, because we do. We hear it all the time on, that we need to focus on the downtown, across the board. It's in the process piece. But it really needs to be considered in the aggregate, because otherwise, you could have the argument very much in the opposite direction for North Kelsey, for the industrial place, for all the different aspects or the different places within the city. And I just hope, because we hear it all the time, but unfortunately, it's not backed up by our citizens. It's not backed up. People don't frequent the downtown. So I do recognize we need to focus, but to put it as an individual goal, the question is, then why don't we have it as an individual goal for everything else? I think it's naive to think that, in my opinion, that it doesn't need it because it's on its way. Well, it was on its way in 2006, 2007, before we hit the downfall, and we had to change course of direction. It could happen at any time. So, anyway.
Okay. So we'll go with Tuttle and then Cockrell. The one thing to remember, too, is that you can have a goal that talks about broadly, and then you can have policies. Is that what we have underneath the goals?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can then talk about the different sub-areas. And we have historically built an importance on the downtown in that we have a downtown master plan. And we have a sub-area plan for North Kelsey, and the industrial park is something that operates differently. So it is possible to have a couple of policy statements underneath each of the goals. So that might be another way to do this. Would that be appropriate? Okay.
Okay, sure.
So I had Commissioner Tuttle and then Ms. Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I'm totally all in favor of doing everything that we can for downtown, but I think the comprehensive plan is comprehensive, and that it should be absolutely a priority in the policies part underneath the goal of our commerce and our economy. It doesn't mean that anybody thinks that it's not important. I definitely do. I spend a lot of time downtown. I spend a lot of time promoting downtown and getting to know business owners and all of that. And I think that our support from the city should go towards the chamber in helping do whatever we can to help the chamber's vision for those businesses down there too. But I love thinking about and wanting to work towards downtown goals, but I don't want to see that be an actual goal in our comprehensive plan.
Points taken. However, I still think that the downtown needs to be maybe not a separate goal, but at least mentioned, because at every community meeting,
for
it's
sure.
been called out, and no council member there has said it was important until this meeting to call it separate.
I think it's not important.
Well, they're saying it's not those words. But the community that came and brought out the point about downtown, there wasn't any opposition to, everybody was very supportive of that. I think that the community can see that if it's not spelled out well on what you mean by the entire community, including revitalizing downtown, I think that can be lost. So I think there does need to be some emphasis on revitalizing our downtown.
Agree.
Ms. Workabaugh.
Well, on that note, I'm sorry for my voice. It's getting worse and worse as we go through the night. Getting feedback from the community, it doesn't matter if you're talking about Monroe or if you're talking about La Jolla, California, or if you're talking about somewhere in the middle of the U.S. Every community needs a place that their community members can call like their own, where they're comfortable going. And yes, Kelsey has some of those things. And yes, the Lake Tai area has some of those things. But really, all of these communities that are thriving and that have really run with what their communities want is that glue that holds the people together, whether they be Latino or whether they be working at Microsoft or whether they've been in the area for the past three generations. They need a place that they're proud of, that they can show off to their families, so on and so forth. And I do think that if we, and again, comprehensive plan, absolutely all of the areas in town are very important. But to have a location like our historic downtown that we embrace, that you can call your own, and again, you can kind of show off when you have folks come into town and that you're proud to go down and get a cup of coffee or do whatever, is something that we're truly lacking right now. And I agree, it's been the constant feedback that I hear when I'm in the downtown, or that folks have actually had the time to come out and talk about, because you know it's like pulling teeth getting anyone to say anything. And out of the many meetings that we've had for open forum discussions, that has been the number one thing, is we want a place. And so I don't want this group to lose sight of that, and this is our opportunity to move forward with it.
The other thing, I'm sure Davis will be next, the other thing also is that this is a 20-year comp plan, right? But we do this every 10 years. And so one of the things to remember too, and I know this is hard, it's a decade, but the other way to look at this too is what sort of things are we going to prioritize over the next 10 years? So while economic development for the whole community may be important, there may be a desire to prioritize certain areas of town. So that's something else to maybe think about. Mr. Davis.
I think what everybody said, or everybody that's spoken here, has made some very good points. And I kind of agree with all of them. And I know that doesn't help. But what I think probably what we need to do best is to focus on the goals and try and make the goals as simplistic or as few as possible, and then touch some of those more important areas with the policies that support them. Instead of waiting the ship up on top so that it rolls over because it's so top heavy, let's balance it out. Let's get the goals concise, easy to understand, and really focused, and then maybe tag some of the more filling information or ideas in the policies and go with that.
Councilman Camp.
Thank you. Well, just a question. So the intent is, from what I understand, is concentration of effort on downtown, because we all agree that what occurred is that it needs a lot of help. So doesn't it make more sense to have a general goal but very specific priorities listed later? And I think going back to Councilmember Gamble's note, making them more general, if you make the goals more general, which span the entire area, then when you get into your policy decisions, have them very specific that you will do, or you will make downtown grow up a priority for the next 10 years, as we specified, if I understand correctly. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jammers.
I think that if you make the goals too broad, we then take away that usability and friendliness to the person that's trying to find where they want to be within that document. The goals act to a certain extent as a table of contents, and it can draw focus more quickly into where they want to be. So I would hate to see us lose the downtown in a long list of policies under one goal.
Councilmember Hanford, and then Steve.
Yeah, just to
piggyback on what you're saying, I think we're all in agreement that, and by no means, are anyone downplaying downtown. We're all very supportive and we want to see it succeed. But by having a generic, I disagree with you there, by having, let's keep the goals generic, otherwise if we specify every single goal, there's going to be too many goals. I mean, this is already hard enough. So by simplifying the goals, then the policies, I mean, the first policy could be downtown. I mean, you know, because it is a priority. We're not downplaying it at all. So I think we're all in agreement. It's just a matter of semantics at this point.
Okay, anybody else on goal five? What I'm hearing is downtown is a priority. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jensen.
Everyone in this room is in a position that's temporary. If you were to change everybody out, not that it's going to happen, if you were to change everybody out next year, and they were to sit down and look at this finished document, they wouldn't have any understanding as to why these policies are so downtown-centric when they look at the goals, because the goal's too broad. And not having any other vision of things, they could look at that and say, well, you know, and I think of this more like if something happened and got challenged in court, some judge is looking at this thing and they're saying, well, why are you so centric on downtown and your policies? It's not one of your goals. To me, the goals should drive the policies, not the policies drive the goals. So the goal, if it's not a separate goal, I'm okay with having seven, then just add that phrase, a phrase of revitalize downtown somewhere, maybe in number three, would be enough. And I know the argument's made, well, then you got to list them all. No, you don't. We don't have to focus on Kelsey for the next 10 years or on the fairgrounds. We might think about the airport, of course, but you don't have to list everything. You can pick one target area or two target areas that you want to focus on for the next 10 years and put them in your goals, because that's what the goal is. That's why it's a goal. To just have a generic goal, it's like, well, that doesn't tell you anything.
Yes.
So if I could just
talk for
a second.
Yeah.
Downtown's a complex place. It's an economic place. It's a residential place. It's a civic and cultural place. And I think you could probably argue that it's not doing particularly well with any of those. And it's probably one of the only places in town that has that range of demands and expectations placed on it. There's something about it that makes us want it to thrive. You know, and what is that? What is that essential characteristic of downtown that makes it a unique place? Yeah, there are lots of other places that are defined and have their own identities, but this is one that really has that kind of diversity that, for some reason, you know, we want to have live. And so this was called out as a separate goal, because it is more than an economic development issue. It's more than an arts and culture issue. It's more than a housing issue. It's an identity of Monroe issue, and that's why it came out as a separate item. So I mean, we can deal with this however you want to deal with it. But I hope that whatever the outcome is that it reflects that kind of complexity and that sentimental expectation for downtown being better than it is today, so it can fulfill that range of goals more successfully.
Okay. All right, so we'll, the staff will work with our consultant.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to add, because they're both very good points. One of the things I might want to add is it's a very, you know, all temporary positions, people swapped up. One thing is, if we do decide to leave it in as a goal, you're going to want to define what downtown is. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at, I've been here for 10 plus years, but I know when you refer to downtown, a lot of folks that move in, if you say downtown Monroe, that's not downtown Monroe to them. Let's define it. It was a slap in the face to me, because when I was talking about the closing down the streets and having our deal that we did with the chamber, which was fantastic, and Santa Claus and everything, it's a downtown renewal. Oh, well, they automatically thought, where? Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Wayne Robin. 50 years ago, or better, I was on the Chamber of Commerce when we were trying to upgrade downtown Monroe. We couldn't even get the town to paint the buildings because the people that owned the buildings were out of town somewhere.
Yeah.
And all been rented. And it's almost that way yet. There's a few businesses that own their own property downtown. And I think that is probably going to be the answer to downtown. But I hope somebody figures it out. I'd like to see it done before I'm going.
Yeah. 30 more years then.
So nothing's changed. We're still working with the same issues in the downtown with absentee property owners and people that are leasing space. And so we're still working with that. When you talk about downtown, the buildings in the downtown core, Main Street and Lewis, you've got old buildings. They don't meet the current building code. You've got different tenants living in there. You've got absentee property owners. It's different than other parts of town. It's different than North Kelsey. It's different than the industrial park. It certainly is a unique and different area of town. Okay, anything else on goal number 5? Okay, we're going to move on to goal number 6.
Oh, I just wanted to say that I'm on an 11 o'clock flight tomorrow.
Okay, so we got plenty of time. Goal number 6, management roads, environment, and natural resources serving the health, safety, and welfare of current and future generations. Councilmember Gary.
Thanks. Again, this one's super fluffy. Number 6. And I see that on the mini goal list, it's essentially copied. Is the discussion items underneath that kind of... I was trying to figure out where this came from. Cities can't exist without clean water. We get our water from the city of Everett, so we're good there. The air does stink with manure smell from Tualco Valley once in a while. And then access to food, we have grocery stores, clean energy. I was trying to figure out what the point of the top part of the discussion here was, because those are things that we don't have a problem with. So I'm trying to figure out what will we be planning, specific to the discussion. I understand we want to, protect our environment. We want to make use of the things we have, corporate parks, all that kind of stuff. We've talked about aesthetically pleasing, all those things. Health, safety, and welfare. Clean water, air, and access to healthy food supplies. I'm just trying to figure out how is that relevant to how we're going to be planning. I don't see that as an issue at all in town. So I was confused. Why is that there? And then the responsibly dispose of waste. We have a garbage contract. I'm not seeing problems that need to be solved here with the discussion, at least, that's under this goal. I think the goal, there are some policies that can go under that. This discussion seems a little, I don't get it. So I'd love some help.
Anybody else? And I can certainly ask Bill to clarify. Commissioner Pell?
Same question. I actually crossed out this goal.
Yeah, we should.
Because I didn't understand what it was for. For a minute, I thought maybe it was about garbage, but I don't. Like I said, I figured when the goal was written, somebody must have had something in mind that I'm not picking up on.
Bill Christensen again. I think it falls under Goal 6 or the mini list anyway. I think it's not. This one here is not necessary. I agree.
Anybody else? Bill, do you want to?
Sure. When I was looking at Goal 6 and 7, it seemed like they both were kind of related in terms of environmental context and stewardship. And I think that the first one, Goal 6, was really designed to deal with resource management. In a way that we can have the city develop in a way that's not going to jeopardize access to resources or the quality of the resources that we rely upon. So that's where that was coming from. And then goal seven, to skip, since they're kind of related, one was how we deal with the land asset, that character, how we conserve that area where we have an ownership position, and then how we take advantage of it where it adjoins us. So that's how I was envisioning those two interrelating. And I'm thinking that, you know, there's really an opportunity to combine them within the context of an awareness beyond the looking of strictly within the city limits.
If I may, I can see number six going under number one. I mean, we're talking about managing something, and to today's point about table of contents, you know, if you're talking, ensure a well-managed city, you drop down underneath those, you're going to see those, the things that we've already talked about. Part of that is, part of a well-managed city is taking care of these things as well. I don't know whether or not we need an actual natural resources section within the comp plan. I don't know if that's coming or not in what's being sent to us, but if we're going to talk about ensuring a well-managed city, we're talking about managing our environment and natural resources. We have our table of contents, and we can build things down from there. So, but again, my question is really, what was this whole clean air, water, and healthy food supplies? Because we have those. Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out what that's here.
Anybody else? Okay, and I know from an environment and natural resources perspective, we have Pricklers regulations, and so we have wetlands and whatnot. The other way to phrase this would be, if we're going to have a goal that relates to the environment, would be to use the term of art that we have maybe in the Growth Management Act, where we're referencing critical areas and things like that. Environment is a broader term, and so does that mean that we're going to be talking about coal trains one way or another because that affects Monroe's environment on a global scale or something? So when we talk about critical areas, we're talking about a more defined set. We're talking about wetlands that can be identified. We're talking about steep slopes that can be identified, floodplains, and so on. Natural resources, I don't know if that's natural resource lands, which is a term of art, like mining areas and whatnot, and that could run contrary, perhaps, if we're going to manage Monroe's natural resources, but we're also going to manage the Monroe's environment, if we've got gravel mining out on the river, you know, how do those two things work? And then you've got health, safety, and welfare under the environment and the natural resources, and I almost wonder if that ought to be a separate item. So, anyway.
Can I ask about number six, the part from the mini goal list, because it's the same thing and you were involved with that. How does the word economic well-being were inserted in there? Mm-hmm. I'm just curious as to thinking
right
behind that and how that works out.
Yeah, basically it's really combined six and seven. So it's for in mini list six, basically took six and seven. The words stayed interchanged, which is basically consider the environment, you know, preserve what you can, but also look at it from an economic point of view, because if we're just going to go completely environmentally, you say we don't build anything anywhere. Because that will preserve the environment, so that's why the economic well-being part is in there, so you have the balance.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
When I read economic well-being, what strikes me is economic sustainability. And so what it means is making intelligent
change that. Sustainability is where.
I like sustainability. You like
economic
it?
Sustainability.
Brad, they like economic sustainability instead of well-being.
Okay.
Because we have a well-being massage center in town that I can do.
Promoting a business.
All right. Anything else on goal six and seven? We'll just combine that discussion we had for goal six and seven. All right. Let's move to goal eight, grow and sustain a balanced, diverse, resilient economy for Monroe, providing community prosperity and long-term fiscal health. Councilmember Garrett.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Again, I had already mentioned this. This was an economic development one. I'd love to see it reworded to something along the lines of promote, encourage, and champion economic development in Monroe, providing for the city's long-term fiscal health. And again, all those things that go underneath that we're talking about, it's economic development. We're talking about, I believe number eight is where you'd have the economic development, and then you'd have your downtown
and you'd have your North Coast, you'd have all those things there. That, you know, here's what we're going to do, because an investment in downtown is economic development. Those are the things that we want to be doing. And the overarching thing that you're trying to do is develop, you know, continue to develop the economy on our own. So I would love to see it reworded myself. It's my personal preference, but obviously I'm all on board on making sure that this is a one that we have great policies for, including downtown Monroe.
Okay. Commissioner Tuttle.
Thank you. Yeah, I hate the phrase providing community prosperity. That says to me that my government's going to make me rich.
Hasn't made you rich yet.
So,
no. So
I don't want to see that as something that we're promising to do.
I concur. One of the things that I want to make certain is the language isn't written here in such a way that the government is doing, there's an insinuation that government is doing something like
providing
mm-hmm. community prosperity. Mm-hmm. I can understand
supporting,
enhancing, ensuring, championing, all those verbs.
Open for business.
Yep, I think all those verbs are appropriate. Providing, this is why when I work with the chamber, a lot of it is about supporting the chamber, doing what the chamber does, which is promoting town, as opposed to suggesting that I, the mayor, am going to go out and build a new business for you, and then build a new business for you, having something that is providing the conditions for it, I think, is what we're looking for, as opposed to actually providing the item. Does anybody else have any comments on that one?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Just the community, again, in one goal is referring to the population. In this goal, I believe it's referring to the business community. So if we want to use the word community, we need to define which community we're talking about. Otherwise, it's really unclear.
And, of course, that could be enhancing the community's prosperity as a whole.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead. Commissioner Tuttle, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
General welfare.
Okay. General welfare. Okay. Dave Demarest.
As I listen to this, it seems to me that what we're talking about is through this effort providing opportunity for prosperity and long term fiscal health.
Yeah. Constitution.
I said get government out of the way.
Good work.
Okay. All right. So
well, that's in fact what the word that's used in goal, mini list goal three is providing. It says employment opportunities, but it could be other kinds of opportunities.
Yeah. Are we hiring the people? We're not hiring yet.
All right, anything else on goal eight? And I recognize there are 170 goals here, so I'm hoping that at some point...
No, there's 14.
No, there's
14 goals.
14
goals, so hopefully we can stop with the goal.
We can stop at the end of the goal.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
I'm stopping.
Okay. Okay, so let's make it a goal of finishing the goals, and hopefully that'll give some direction and some sidebars for our consultants and staff to work on.
I just have one yeah. follow-up question for clarification on goal eight. Conversation about fiscal health, that's one part of it that I heard loud and clear, and then employment and income. Do we want to see increases in community income and enhancements of local employment?
How would we do a policy to increase community income?
Cut taxes?
Well, you can do it through land use designations, through tax incentives for particular types of uses. I mean, there are things, maybe collaborating with local educationalists.
I think we should, personally, I think we should shy away from the income
part of it.
Yeah, you say employment, but not income.
I could see how if we were to talk about income, somebody could make an argument in the future that by having larger lots, larger houses, somehow contributes to higher income. And so I can see all sorts of extensions of arguments that may not be consistent with what they're looking for. And I think that the long-term fiscal health, I think that's probably under another goal. I think the whole point of this goal should be about promoting opportunities for business and development here in town. Okay, goal number nine, plan for and establish types and quantities of land uses in Monroe that support community needs and the city's long-term sustainability.
Bueller, Bueller, okay. Commissioner Tuttle, and then Councilmember Gehring.
Next to that, I wrote to rewrite it. It didn't make any sense to me. But I thought it should go with the goal number one for Monroe, having a plan for, this should actually, when it's rewritten to be more clear, it should be one of our number one goals is to have a growth plan, because so much of our town is like a hodgepodge of different things popping up everywhere. There's no continuity. So if this goal is about a plan for development and some kind of overall vision for what we should look like, then I'm for it. I think it needs to get rewritten.
It's mini goal five.
Mini goal five.
Almost word for word, I think.
What, the downtown?
No. Goal nine goal is five. Mini goal five.
Oh, mini goal five.
Yeah, mini goal five, but I don't care.
I'm thinking more of having a plan for the growth and not just the land, not necessarily just the land uses, but maybe that would be an area where some design standards might come underneath in the policy somewhere, but otherwise I didn't like that goal number nine at all.
I think the question then is this specific to land use, this goal? Is that the specific reason for this goal, is for land use?
It says patterns of growth, so that's why I was thinking it had to do with the big picture.
Well, yeah, land use has to do with growth, yeah. But if this goal is specific for land use, then I think the mini number five pretty much says it.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring?
Thanks. So I was actually going to say it could go with the other goals, that it could go with number three.
Yeah.
And there's a sustainability of
mini
what?
Mini three? Or
mini three or big three?
I just wrote down number three. Which one did I mean?
Combination.
Thank you. So again, it talks about community needs. How are those defined? And then sustainability is the last word in goal nine, and like sustainability of what? But again, I think this one, as has been said before, doesn't need to stand its own. It should be incorporated into ones that we already have. It's other ones that we have proposed. Thanks.
And that was for goal nine.
That was for goal nine.
Anybody else on goal nine? All right, let's move to goal 10. Keep Monroe's neighborhoods safe, vital, and attractive. This time we'll go with Councilmember Gehring and then Commissioner Tuttle.
This is a duplicate of number two, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
So it should go away.
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay. Commissioner Tuttle?
Same. I thought that safety should go with the other goal, number two. And I don't know that we necessarily talked about the look and feel of neighborhoods. The safety was redundant. I don't know about the vitality and attractiveness and how we would do that without getting into the whole design discussion. So,
okay. That's all. Commissioner Demarest. I'm sorry, Mr. Demarest.
I'm just going to give a hand
to everybody. I'm sorry.
I think I would be cautious about throwing them away or too quickly or saying it's all the same. I think one is talking about public safety very clearly in number, is it?
10.
No, the first one.
Two. Number two.
Two. Number two. Clearly, in my mind, public safety. And number nine,
ten.
Ten, is a more subjective, softer, emotional, human side of things.
Okay, Kurt. So we had this discussion with staff, which is why mini goal
number two.
Says promote and provide for public safety and security, because it's the touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy, do I feel secure?
I don't think so.
I like it. I would put it under, I agree. Put it under number two.
Sorry. You agree with who?
I think it's worthy of more discussion.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think that the neighborhoods and that kind of thing could go in the policy side of underneath that goal of safety and security.
I don't think anything about public...
Let's take your name, sorry.
Shauna Chamberlain. I don't think anything which says public safety and security speaks to the aesthetic feel of our neighborhoods.
No, that's why it should, the safe part should not even be part of that number 10, because we already talked about safety and security.
So you think goal 10 should just be, big goal 10, should just be keep Monroe neighborhoods vital and attractive?
Well, that's where I was thinking that maybe that policy was more about design standards and aesthetic than safety.
Because we were having that discussion on big goal 4, talking about what is beautiful. So how is beautiful different than aesthetically pleasing?
No, I don't know. Vital and attractive. That's why I thought at least the safety part has been addressed in a different goal. And if we want to do something about aesthetics, then that's its own discussion.
Okay, so let me, because we have had that in a couple of places, is there a desire from the group to have a goal that gets to aesthetics, beauty, that kind of stuff in neighborhoods and commercial areas?
Do you want a show of hands?
Yeah, just a show of hands. Who would like to see a statement like that in there? Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
Goal number 7. Mini goal number 7, sorry. We talked about aesthetically pleasing, safe, but it's in reference to transportation and infrastructure.
Make the towers pretty.
Is there any reason why we couldn't, you know, if people are really passionate about that piece, why it'd be doubtful? Just throwing that
out. No, we could include, not just have utility and transportation infrastructure, but we could just use a more generic term for provide or promote development and infrastructure that is safe, effective, affordable, efficient, aesthetically pleasing. Did somebody write that down? Because I didn't.
We're recording it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. 9:40. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I think we have to be careful with what we say is attractive or aesthetically pleasing. Yep. To one person is not the same to another person. So I think that is way too general. I think if you're in a neighborhood, say you got neighbors that have 20 cars in their front yard, to them that's aesthetically pleasing. You know? And then down the
street.
Well, it depends on what you're going to call attractive or aesthetically pleasing. I think you have to be careful when you go that direction.
Okay, so let's acknowledge this, that this could be a policy debate.
Yes.
That could occur. Yes. Within the Planning Commission and the
Yes.
Council.
Yes.
And so staff and our consultant will probably draft something to keep it in so that there can be a discussion in those two. In those policy forums about it.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's enough debate here, even though the hands aren't perfect. Let's go ahead and keep some sort of statement to that effect in so that there can be discussion in those forums.
Thanks.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
That it's 9:40 at night. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just going to add quickly that maybe using the word consistent works better than aesthetically, in the sense of whatever the neighborhood is, if you're consistent, that
so
maybe implies a bit of whatever aesthetics people liked it in that neighborhood. If you can keep it consistent,
so
they'll be happy.
Okay. So let's do this. There are people that like living in a neighborhood that looks all the same. There are people that like to live in a neighborhood where you have custom homes and it's eclectic.
And so
Let's go ahead and say that policy debate will be within the Planning Commission and the Council rather than tonight, because I can see both. I've done this before as a planner. I can see both. And let's have that be a policy issue that is discussed. Let's go ahead and move on to goal number 11, unless there's objection. Okay, promote diverse housing types and price range options. And price range options in Monroe, helping meet community needs. Looking for other people?
Hermione, actually, Mrs. a question.
Castle. Yes.
Clarification is when you're talking about diverse housing types, or that's the one. Is that an entirely separate thing than land use, or is it related?
Semi-related.
Is there a possibly a way that somehow that can be reworded on, what is it, goal five, that can also address that?
Mini.
Or, I'm sorry, mini goal five. Or is this also something that could possibly be addressed more fully in policies?
That's why I didn't put it on mini goals, and five kind of covers the broader, and then one of the policies underneath that would be provide a, you know, variety of housing types and things like affordabilities or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's different than land uses because you're talking about what actually goes. Land use to me is more of an entitlement. It's more of a broader concept: commercial, residential, single family, multifamily. When you start talking about housing type, now I'm thinking about condominium versus unit lot versus apartment. I'm thinking of stacked versus vertical. When you start talking about price range options, now I'm thinking about affordable housing, the per se definition of affordable housing versus, you know, more expensive homes on more, you know. So I start thinking, and then helping meet community need, now I'm thinking that there might be an affordable housing program that I might need to be part of. So to me, this can almost be a separate item, whether it's a goal or a policy. It's a separate subject because of that.
And how much of that is driven by the Growth Management Act?
Some of it by Snohomish County, and Bill, would you?
Yeah, and I mean, the GMA says we have to have a housing element that is inclusive, and there's federal law, too, that we have to make sure we have access to housing for every income.
And we certainly do that here. We've got affordable housing projects like Housing Hope and whatnot. We have been doing that here. So I'm going to go ahead. Do you have anything else, Karen?
No.
Okay. Dave, and then we'll go through the hearing and
comments. Given that the housing element is a required element of the comprehensive plan, I think this goal makes perfect sense and there's a need for it without the last four words, perhaps.
I would agree with that.
And it's not that we're taking out the need to help community need.
No,
needs.
Not at all.
Just, yeah. Okay. Okay, Councilmember Garrett.
Yeah, the price range options thing, we can't get into that business. I probably scratched that too. Again, we can give developers incentives to provide certain types of housing, but this is a market thing. The market determines what the price of a given house is, unless you're talking about Housing Hope, in which case, you know, it's people building themselves. That's a specific program for that. And I wouldn't want our city to get into the business of saying, in this neighborhood, where every house is going to be under $200,000, you know, whatever it is. That's not the business we need to be in.
Yeah, what I'm reading there is promote. And so the fact that we have an affordable housing section.
Tell everyone that, yeah, Housing Hope, we want more Housing Hope projects here, those kind of things to fill in.
But doesn't diverse housing lead to price range options? Do we have to talk about
so
the price
I
range?
Missed, maybe I'm...
No, I'm just saying, if we are promoting diverse housing, then the price range options are already...
Always.
It's already...
How would we develop a policy around providing price range options? Because
okay.
We should not be in the business of...
And it depends on what's for sale.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take a note on that. We're close to having to do a vote to extend past 10. So
no, we're not.
Let's make a note on that. So, Councilmember Gearing, did you have anything else?
That's it. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, let's go to Commissioner Tuttleman, back to Dave Demarest.
Good.
Okay, Dave?
I was just going to say that one of the things that we can do that don't do it, like pricing, Rick, you might jump on this, is lot sizes. Different lot sizes will affect price ranges. So that in turn may require us then to make sure that we have a diversified, not just housing type, but also lot type.
Okay.
So that would be mini goal five. Talks about land uses.
That's a good point.
Well, so could we say diverse housing and lot type?
So it could be promote a variety of housing types and lot sizes or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That's
discussion night.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Let's move on to goal number 12. This is maintain and improve Monroe's transportation network on pace and in concert with need, growth, and long-term objectives. Okay, let's start with Steve and then Commissioner Tuttle.
Can we just add the words of this means no roundabouts?
Oh, gosh.
I love it.
That was flat.
That's a fair point.
It's bottom. Okay, Commissioner Sutherland.
Can we just say improve Monroe's transportation network? Do we have to say all those other fluffy words? That's a question.
It is a question. Can you shorten it to, and of course, there probably is a mini goal at this point. I'm not referencing.
It's just
the seventh copy.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying to facilitate a meeting while looking, and okay, good.
One more thing.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Is the discussion paragraph at all going to be part of the comp plan? Because the reduced US 2 congestion, how are we doing that?
So, put a toll on that.
My understanding is that the discussion.
And then we can build the bypass.
So that's an important point. I'd like everybody to hear this, and I want to make certain that I'm right. And if I'm not right, just let me know. That's cool. That the discussion would be adopted as part of the comp plan. And the reason why is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why I'm mentioning that is that there have been, as I understand it, cases before the Growth Management Hearings Board or court where the introductory text or the explanatory text was used to justify a decision. And so while the goal is what you all are looking at adopting, again, I may be mistaken, but I heard this about 4 years ago, the introductory text and the discussion text, if you disagree with it, as I understand it, you ought to modify the text as well, because it can be used in a hearing. Okay. Now, again, if they tell you otherwise, then maybe something's changed or I misunderstood something. But.
Okay. I guess my question is, does this discussion text remain with the goals?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
My understanding is yes, it does, because it's Appendix C, and that goes to what was being discussed earlier, which is that the policies are a separate appendix, if I'm understanding things correctly, and then the recognition that it's hard to follow, you know, goal to policy to, and so on. Okay. So.
Yeah, some kind of outline format seems way more usable to me.
Okay. All right. So, Commissioner Tuttle, I think
that's
still
all.
Have the floor. Do you have anything
I'm
else?
Done.
Okay. Chair Christensen, did you have anything else? And then Mrs. Kavanaugh? Okay, Mrs. Kavanaugh.
In light of what you just said, I'm thinking that when the goals are all adopted, that someone's going to need to go through and make sure that the discussion under each of those goals is.
Yep.
That's Planning Commission.
Planning Commission.
Yep. Don't you worry.
apparently I sent Brad an email that I don't remember, but that said that the discussion is so that we can have a conversation about the goals and that the discussion statement will go away in the comprehensive plan.
Oh, that's good.
But,
better news.
But I don't remember that. And
sounds like a plan.
It sounds reasonable and it sounds great, particularly right now. But I think that there is a reason why tonight I'm thinking that we should have something in there that explains the intent behind the goals, so that we're telling the story more fully for the goals. Now, and in that regard, I think everything we write in the comprehensive plan we have to mean. You know, every word is going to be constructed as being a meaningful thing. But when it comes to actually figuring out how to pin your land use decisions on specific comprehensive plan references, then you're going to go to the goal and policy reference numbers. About US 2 congestion and how it relates to that, yes, US 2 is federal facility, regional significance. But if we're able to have the kind of connectivity that we want in town, then we'll have less local trips or fewer local trips on Highway 2, which will help to alleviate some of the congestion. So that's where that was coming
from. So, and to that, I would rather see it say to improve our city connectivity rather than reducing traffic on Highway 2, because we just don't have control over that.
So something like increasing the proportion of
internal connections or something.
Local trips on streets other than Highway 2, which
if we have to
an
have
easier way to describe it, like develop a well-connected street network that doesn't just rely on Highway 2.
East-west, more east-west connectivity.
Yeah, it's Turney Place. It's
Things we can do instead
of
things that we can't.
Improve crossing conditions.
Yeah, well then take off the US 2 thing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
just ended the last comment.
We don't know what's going
to
happen.
So we're down to 5 minutes before I need the council to vote to extend. Goal 13, maintain and improve Monroe's parks and recreational facilities on pace with need, growth, and long-term objectives.
Sounds great. Good. Next.
Yeah, we all like parks.
No, actually,
we're good.
Maintain and improve like our opposing terms, so we should pick one. How about
improve.
Can we just do improve?
Go with improve.
And drop
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear what you said. There was
maintain and improve our opposing terms. So I would rather see us drop the maintain and keep the improve.
I agree.
Anybody else? Okay. So let's move on to goal number 14, sustain and expand.
Okay, expand.
Okay, so expand Monroe's arts, cultural, and civic environment.
How about just expand, to the same point.
Okay, so question. Okay, Mr. Whalen.
Well, it looks to me like 13 and 14 are under mini goal 4.
Boom. Yes, exactly. Yeah. The policy's under number 4, exactly.
Okay, and let me take a look at mini goal 4 really quickly. Okay, one of the comments that I was going to have is when you talk about government's role, maintain and improve Monroe's parks and recreational facilities, that makes sense because those are facilities that we own.
Yeah.
Whereas maintain and expand Monroe's arts, cultural, and civic environment, to me that's more of a promote because some of those things are nonprofit owned, some of them are school district owned, some of them are privately owned. So if we do stick with goal 14, I would recommend having promote.
Agree.
Okay.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. That's why mini goal 4 is encouraged.
Yeah. And I noticed that when I glanced at it. So. Okay. What we have not gone over are the policies, the 170 policies, and we're not going to start that tonight. Councilmember Guerin?
Thanks. I just wanted to make one comment on some of these. I have a lot of what and why is this here and where is this an issue. I have to ask about P number 094, which is talking about inventory, identify and classify and protect fish and wildlife habitats, providing special consideration for anadromous fish habitat. I don't know why that's here. And we can just, exactly, but that we have a state agency that takes care of that.
So required to by state law?
It'd be critical areas.
Well, can we just see where everything falls under the goals?
Comply like that. There's also another policy that talks about an actual attempt to limit how council can spend general fund monies, and that needs to be taken
out. That's another discussion.
It is.
Yeah,
so a lot of things to hear there.
Okay, so we've got about 2 minutes. We've got about 3 minutes before the council needs to vote to extend.
They're going to vote to adjourn.
Just one quick comment. It'll take me 13 seconds. I'm grooving on the conversation. Many communities, you'll see 5 or 10 goals for every element they adopt in their plan. Do the math. That means we've reduced it from about 80 to less than a dozen.
Councilmember Hanford.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, I have a move to adjourn from Councilmember Hanford. A second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
All opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
I'm working on it. We're not quite there. I'm working on it.